The Lord asked Job, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?" Job 38:22. It's nice to be with you this afternoon. We have visitors with us, and we're glad to see you. In just a few moments, we'll stand and sing a song to invite you to come to the Lord. And all things are made ready that your sins, though they be as crimson, may be white as snow. Many people begin, few finish. Writing the Galatians, Paul said in Galatians 5 and verse 7, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" Are you aware that the Lord is a finisher? In John chapter 17 and verse 4, in his prayer to the Father, he said, "I have finished the work that you gave me to do." While on the cross, one of his seven sayings is the three-word phrase recorded in John 19:30, "It is finished." And we heard read from Hebrews 12 and verse 2 that we're to run the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want to appeal to you this afternoon to be a finisher. I'm calling to our attention eight expressions, and you might like to jot these down, that hopefully will spur us on to be a finisher. I begin by reminding us, don't look back. In the book of Genesis, chapter 19, when warning came to Lot about doom to Sodom, in Genesis 19 and verse 17, it was said, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee." As reported in verse 26, his wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Three words capture that concept in the book of Luke, chapter 17, in verse 32. You know what they are? Remember Lot's wife. In the gospel according to Luke, in chapter 9 and in verse 62, Jesus said, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." And so in order to be a finisher, don't look back. Keep your hand to the plow. But secondly, to be a finisher, it's imperative that we faint not. A number of times the Apostle Paul talked about not fainting. Like in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, he said, "Seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." What does it mean to faint? To faint is to have one's strength relaxed, to be enfeebled through exhaustion, to grow weak, grow weary, to be tired out. Don't allow that to happen. In chapter 4 and verse 16, when he talked about our afflictions, he said, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And then to the Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 9, he penned, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season," what's the rest of that? "We shall reap if we faint not." Sometimes there are those who fail to reap because they didn't keep on. They fainted. They grew weak, weary, and tired out. And so to be a finisher, faint not. In the third place, if we're going to be finishers, we're going to have to reach and press. Paul talked about reaching and pressing in his letter to the Philippians. In chapter 3, he said in verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." What is that? "Forgetting those things which are behind, and what? Reaching forth, unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was a finisher. He was not one to just sit and rest upon his laurels. But he realized that his work wasn't finished. There was more for him to do. What do you learn from that? There's more for you to do. Think of all he had done, all that he had accomplished. The preaching trips that he had made, the folks that had been converted, the churches that had been established. He could have thought, I've done all that I can do and need to do. But he said, I reach and I press. Understanding that he had not yet crossed the finish line. He said in verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained. Sometimes we get to acting as if we've already crossed the finish line. We've already attained. He knew he hadn't yet. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. It wasn't over until the resurrection. And so to be a finisher, I've got to reach and press. But also, another word that captures what we're trying to accomplish today, to spur us on to be finishers, is to continue. Oftentimes, the scriptures place emphasis upon continuing. Like in the book of Acts, when Paul and Barnabas in chapter 14 exhorted first century disciples in verse 22 to continue in the faith. When he addressed the Colossian saints, in Colossians chapter 1, he said in verse 23, If you are, continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. You might circle that word, continue. In writing Timothy, he called upon this young man to be a continuing preacher. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, he said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. He warned the young man in 2 Timothy 3 about perilous times, that days are going to be difficult. How do you respond? Oh, it might be easy to quit, to give in, to give up, or to give out. But Paul said in verse 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. In order to be a finisher, we've got to continue. Next. We've got to be a holding fast people. A number of times the scriptures urge us as the Lord's people to hold fast. Hebrews 3 and verse 6, for example. Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. In chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. What about that? Let us hold fast our profession. And then again in chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us what? Hold fast. Did you get a handle on that? You might circle those words. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. You know why some people don't finish? Because they fail to hold fast. Think of yourself out in a body of water, struggling, and somebody throws you a rope to pull you to safety. What are you going to do? Hold fast. Don't let it slip. Too many times there are those who let things slip. And in Hebrews 2 and 1, it is written, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Don't let it slip away from you. hold fast. But as you make your study today about being a finisher, there's another expression that I want you to be familiar with. And that is the fact that we need to be a people who go on. Go on. Keep on going. Hebrews 6 and 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works into faith toward God. What do you want us to do, Hebrew writer? Go on. These people had not developed properly. They're spiritually immature. He said in verse 12 of chapter 5, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, but ye need that one teach you again, the first principles. And he said, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's in that context that he says, go on. Therefore, in chapter 6 and verse 1, have you reached perfection yet? I expect all of us have room for improvement, don't we? And so go on unto perfection. But number 7. Don't draw back. In this book, as the writer spurs these people on to be finishers, in Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 38, he said, now the just shall live by faith. That expression appears several times throughout this volume. Back in the Old Testament, for example, it is written that the just shall live by faith in the book of Habakkuk. Paul made reference to that in his letter to the Romans. But in verse 38, he says, if any man draw back, another way of saying that is to shrink back. What about the person who draws back or shrinks back? The Lord said, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. People who shrink back or draw back don't finish. He said, we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You and I need a faith that endures to the end. And then finally, the 8th expression that challenges us to be a finisher is in the final book. When the Lord, through John the Revelator, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, says, be faithful just today, right? Just this week, the rest of this year, unto death. Faithful unto death. Want some examples of people like that? Who are finishers? Who are faithful unto death? Read Hebrews chapter 11. The Hebrew writer recorded of these people in verse 13, these all died in faith. If you'd been one of these, would it have been said of you, died in faith? Like Abel, for example, who offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, verse 4. Enoch in verse 5, who pleased God. Noah, verse 7, who warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Abraham in verse 8, who, when he was called to go out into place, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. This chapter is chock full of examples of individuals who had a lifelong faith. They didn't cast it off. They didn't allow anybody to overthrow it. It wasn't made shipwreck. They were faithful unto death. They're finishers. May God help each of us to do the same, to not be guilty of looking back. Keep your hand to the plow. A lot of times in the Old Testament, the Lord's people wanted to go back to Egypt. The Lord said they go forward. Don't faint. Reach and press, continue, hold fast, go on. Don't draw back. Be faithful unto death. so that when the time of your departure is at hand, you can be a finisher. And you can say with Paul, as reported in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 7, I have finished my course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but also unto all them that love his appearing. But to be a finisher, you've got to get started. And there's a possibility that there are those here today who've not yet started the race. You've not entered. The Lord's invited you. He said, come unto me, Matthew 11:28. And he's given us the requirements to enter this race, the greatest race of all, which involves hearing his word, Matthew 17:5, believing with all of our heart, Hebrews 11:6, repenting of our sins, Luke 13:3, confessing faith in the Son of God, Matthew 10:32, being buried with him by baptism, Romans 6:3-4. And once we've entered the race, we need to run, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and run till the race is over. Don't look back. Be faithful unto death. Maybe you started. You've fallen. We're here to help lift you up. We can do that by praying for you, if you're willing to repent and ask God for forgiveness. As together we stand and sing, we invite you to come.